Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you govern all things, both in heaven and on earth. Mercifully hear the supplications of your people, and in our time, grant us your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'If I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore, or ever again see the great fire, I will die.' Then the Lord replied to me, 'They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now concerning food sacrifices to idols, we know that all of us possesses knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven and on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us closer to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you who possess knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So, by your knowledge, whose weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their failing, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to fall. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples went into Capernaum, and when the Sabbath had come, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit convulsed on him, and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I was only 29 years old when I took my first church. I was the head priest, the rector. I was the only priest. And it was there that I encountered my first raging alcoholic. He tells his story openly today, and he would want me to share it with you. His name is Dewey. He was my senior warden, which was kind of rough on a young priest. I would call him in the evenings, and his voice sounded slurred. But I was so young and so naive that at first I thought he had had a stroke. He would fall and hurt himself. But he always had a medical reason. He had a very red face, but he explained that he had rosacea. So for every physical ailment that came up, there was some reason, some medical terminology he would give me, and it took me almost a year to see the truth. That every night when he came home from work, his wife would meet him at the front door of the house with a glass of scotch in her hand, and she would hand it to him, and he would begin to drink. And the drinking would not stop until he passed out that night. I managed to convince his wife that it might not be a good idea to meet him at the door with a glass of scotch, and she might want to bring him to a treatment facility. We dragged him there. He did not want to go. He did not think he needed any help. But I will never forget what happened on that day. when we brought him to the treatment center. We sat in a small room, Dewey and his wife and myself, and a lovely young woman came waltzing in with a clipboard, and she sat down. "Hello, my friends," she said. "How are you today? It's beautiful outside." And then she started to ask very simple, innocuous questions about his age and his weight, and she called him honey, and Dewey got more relaxed, less angry. And then she eased her way into questions about his drinking, all the while, though, just smiling and sort of filling out her clipboard, and she made him think that this was all totally normal. And Dewey got more and more confident and justified as he talked about the huge amount of scotch that he drank every night, and about how hard he worked and how he deserved it. The pretty young woman waltzed out the door, and I thought, did I bring him to the right place? And then the doctor walked in. He was a short man with glasses, not much to look at, but he was strong. He pulled his chair right up close to Dewey, and he looked at him straight in the eye, and he said, "Dewey, you are killing yourself. You see this clipboard? Every single physical ailment that you mentioned is caused by alcohol. You are poisoning your body. Do you realize that?" And then he turned to Dewey's wife. "Do you want to poison your husband?" It was like the truth exploded like a bomb in that room. Dewey's wife began to weep, and he got furious, just furious. He stood up and he marched right out of that place. In the gospel, there are many examples of Jesus dealing with what the gospel writers call unclean spirits or demons. We don't know what to do with these passages. We Americans we're okay with the physical healings when Jesus cures the blind man. That's cool. But when he does what we would call an exorcism, well, that just sounds medieval to us, full of superstition and nonsense. So we try to just kind of ignore those passages. Let's move on to the teaching stuff, right? This is just too weird. But in the ancient Greek of the New Testament, an unclean spirit. Spirit means a huge word. It means consciousness. Your motivation, your mind. So don't think about ghosts right now. Think about motivation. Think about what goes on inside your head, because you do have unclean thoughts, right? We're okay with admitting that? We all have unclean thoughts, unclean motivations. You don't have to be an alcoholic to deal with temptation or self-hatred or anxiety or anorexia or any other kind of mental state that drags you from God's purposes. Most of us here have figured out how to act healthy and normal. But what goes on inside here is a battlefield for all of us. Even the healthiest among us have unclean motivations, dysfunctional consciousness. In this gospel from Mark, we are given a gift. Because Jesus gives us an example of how to interact with the dysfunctional mind. First of all, Jesus encounters the unclean spirit in worship, in the synagogue. It wasn't out in the bar, it wasn't out on the street, it was in here. So let's just stop with that myth about how everyone is on their perfect behavior in church. Because it doesn't always work that way, does it? In fact, I believe that when you are in the presence of Christ, you in fact are sometimes more dysfunctional. It is as if the light of God is so bright that it brings up our worst selves in comparison. And people can sometimes act like a mess in church. Believe me, I've seen it. The first thing that an unclean spirit wants to do, and how you can identify it in your own self, is it wants to hide. Dewey wanted to pretend that he was fine. He did not want anyone to know about his alcoholism. He didn't want to know about it himself. So if you have a motivation or a thought that you do not want to share with your spouse or your friends, I bet it's not a good one, right? The first sign of an unclean spirit is the desire to hide. But when Jesus enters that worship space, the dysfunction, the illness, the obsession, the anxiety, whatever it was, comes out. You can't hide from Christ. You cannot hide from Christ. And it's interesting to me that Mark does not tell us a thing about this unclean spirit. He doesn't tell us if this man is hurting himself or drinking too much or hurting his wife or what. We don't know. You know why? Because it's not important. All that we need to know is that it was unclean. An unclean spirit is also protective. It does not want help. It does not want assistance. It does not want change. If you feel very defensive and don't want to share something about yourself, look at what that thing is that you don't want to share. Unclean spirits don't like help. They don't like evaluations. They like to operate alone. What have you to do with us? The unclean spirit says, with us. I find that interesting, as if it's a plural. Well, maybe dark motivation has many manifestations in our mind. Maybe it comes in many shapes and forms. I do not know. But this unclean spirit starts to try to engage Jesus. It says, what are you going to do with us? It wants to get all wrapped up in the diagnosis, the plan of treatment. Jesus does not answer the question. All he says is, be quiet, or silence. You see, unclean motivations are full of excuses. They want to talk and talk and talk. They want you to rationalize and obsess and think about it and worry about it and talk about it some more. But Jesus doesn't want you to do that. He just wants you to stop. And the enemy of the dysfunctional mind is silence. If you don't understand what's going on up here, be quiet and listen to your own mind. Everything rises up when it's quiet. And at the end of that little passage, when Jesus says, be quiet, come out of him, it says that the unclean spirit tears at the man as it leaves him, convulsing him. It gets worse for a little while before it goes away. Just like with my friend Dewey, he got so angry and so upset. We had so much conflict for the next few months, and he drank more. Things got worse before they got better. We finally had to schedule a family intervention. I went there with the family, and he was drinking so much he could no longer walk. He was in an easy chair with his drink beside him. And I knelt down, and he said, I don't care if I die. And I said, but do you care about your soul? He looked at me. Yeah, he said, yeah, I do care about that. And he started to get up. We had to help him walk to the car. He was in that treatment center for months. But he's been sober ever since. And almost every day, guess what he does? He goes to those AA meetings where he tells the truth. He names his unclean spirit. He says, my name is Dewey and I am an alcoholic. Every day. He and his wife decided that they needed to get married all over again without alcohol. So we did a wedding at the church. And it was so beautiful. Dewey has found health now, but he hasn't really found complete peace. He still has to battle that unclean spirit. But now he knows what it looks like. He brings it out into the open for everyone to see. He names it. He tells the truth. and he is alive. And the only thing that got him up out of that chair was his belief in Jesus. No one can silence your doubts and uncertainties, your worries. No one but Jesus. You cannot make them be quiet. All that you can do is ask him for help. Say to him, Jesus, give me peace. Help me to know my own mind so that I don't get wrapped up in anything that drags me away from you. And give me peace. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We offer ourselves with all our hopes and fears and dreams and sorrows to Jesus, who has come and is here and will come again. In this season of Epiphany, we remember the wise ones whose journey by the brightest star light brought them to the light of the world. Let us pray together, saying, Christ be our light. For the people of God throughout the world, and for all of us gathered together here, that we will learn how God wants us to live, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For our president, for the leaders of every nation, and for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For children and grown-ups everywhere, for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for all who we love, those who live and those who have died, we give thanks for the life of Sharon Gaddy. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For all who are sick, sad, hungry, afraid, alone, or in any kind of trouble, that they will be helped and comforted, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For what is in our hearts today, we ask you to hear us, God.
Church in Cuba.
For all that we have and all that we share,
We thank you, God.
Father in heaven, help us to know our own minds. Help us to hear those thoughts that are unclean and those thoughts that come from you. And in all that we do and say, help us always to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. We're so glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting us, we have a little card in your pew that you can fill out, and we will send you our e-newsletter. We're so glad that you're here with us today. We have a very special guest with us and his wife. Dean Jose Angel is the dean of the cathedral in Havana, Cuba, and his wife Lucretia is here with us. Jose, would you come, and Perry, would you come and translate for us? Jose Angel is a wonderful man of God who's becoming a friend of mine and of my husband's, and we're very blessed to have him here with us today. It took some work on the part of Teresa Johnson to figure out how to get the Cuban government and the American government to allow him to come today, and he's going to celebrate for us, but Jose has trouble with his voice. You see, he's been preaching for over 20 years without a sound system. They don't have those in most of their churches. So his voice is very worn. So we're hoping today to raise a bit of money to pay for a sound system for the cathedral in Havana. And if you would be so generous as to write a check to St. John's Cathedral but put Havana or Cuba in the memo section, we're going to try to get that and bring it over and set it up so he can do his preaching. Jose, welcome. Would you like to say a word?
Una poca palabra para dar gracias a Dios por estar aquí. También por la invitación que Reverend Kate Bishop Howard nos hizo para asistir a la convención.
Just a few words of thanks to all of you and to Dean Kate and Bishop John Howard for inviting us to be present with you at the convention and here at the church.
Es un honor para nosotros, para mí, para mi esposa, estar aquí en esta iglesia catedral de San Juan. Es algo muy emotivo, muy inspirador para nosotros.
It's a great honor for my wife and I to be here with you in this beautiful cathedral, and that it is a very inspirational place for us to come to.
Espero que podamos caminar como compañeros en misión esta catedral, sus miembros, sus ministros y nosotros, nuestra catedral Santísima Trinidad en La Habana. Espero que para beneficio de ambas comunidades y para la gloria de Dios podamos llevar un trabajo de compañerismo unidos en el amor de Cristo.
I pray that we will be able to continue this road of faith and companionism between our two cathedrals and between our people, and that it will be to a benefit both for you and for us.
Thank you, Reverend Kate. Thank you, Perry. Thank you all. God bless you.
we're hoping that more and more of us will be able to go to Cuba to visit. And you can stay with Dean Jose, and they have very good coffee. Very good. Next Saturday is a quiet garden day, so if you need some silence in your life, please look at the bulletin and you can learn more about that. And just two more things. Next Sunday is our annual parish meeting. After this service, we'll have pizza and a salad. It'll last 1 hour. You'll see a slideshow of the year before, which is fun. And we'll elect our vestry, which is our governing board. And I'll talk to you a little bit about some of the great things that are happening around here. So I hope you'll come next Sunday after church and eat lunch with us. And lastly, a wonderful piece of news. Our choir has just been formally invited by the Canterbury Cathedral to come and sing there. So they've already booked their dates, July 28th through August 3rd of 2014. They're going to be over there singing. We're so proud of them. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Oh,
El Señor sea con ustedes. Elevemos los corazones. Demos gracias a Dios nuestro Señor. Dios de todo poder, soberano del universo, tú eres digno de gloria y alabanza. A tu mandato todas las cosas llegaron a ser. La vasta extensión del espacio interestelar, las galaxias, los soles, los planetas en su trayectoria y esta frágil tierra, nuestro hogar insular. De los elementos primarios formaste la raza humana y nos bendijiste con la memoria, la razón y la destreza. Nos hiciste soberanos de la creación, mas nos volvimos contra ti, traicionando tu confianza, y también nos volvimos unos contra los otros. Una y otra vez nos llamaste a regresar por los profetas y los sabios. Nos revelaste tu justa ley y en la plenitud de los tiempos enviaste a tu único hijo nacido de mujer para cumplir tu ley y abrirnos el camino de libertad y paz. Por tanto te alabamos uniendo a los coros celestiales con los profetas, apóstoles y mártires y con aquellos de todas las generaciones que te han buscado con esperanza para proclamar con ellos el incesante himno de tu gloria.
So, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your Church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Aleluya. Cristo, nuestra Pascua, se ha sacrificado por nosotros.
In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, the honor and glory, now and forever.
Que la bendición de Dios omnipotente, Padre, Hijo y Espíritu Santo, sea con ustedes y more en ustedes, ahora y por siempre. Amén.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.